This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Not one sack allowed by that Alabama offensive line against arguably the best front seven in college football. It didn't look that way on Saturday night. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about the SEC Championship game with you today, and we are going to open up the phone lines coming up in about 15 minutes, 404-741-0929, for you to get in. I don't know how you feel about it. I've been PO'd all weekend. After watching the debacle that was the SEC Championship game and to go out and lay an egg the way they did, to wet the bed the way Georgia did against Alabama in the biggest moment of the season, there's just so many things that, Mike, you go, what happened and why did it happen? And we've said this all day today, and I want to be clear. I'm not solely putting this on Stetson Bennett, but the coach had a decision to make with a better quarterback on the bench, and he decided not to even try. If you can explain to me why he made that decision, I'm open ears. I want to hear why, the reasoning behind that. If I had a guy on the bench that wasn't as good or better than the guy I'm playing, I totally understand that. You go, you know what, we'll just stay the course. But a guy that's on the bench that's supposed to be better, that came in more highly touted versus the guy that's been winning games for you, and you get in a moment where you go, nah, I'm not going to do that. Why, Kirby? Why?
Yeah, and I'm as mad as you are about that as I am about the defense and, you know, why they found themselves in the pickle they were in. And then once you're down and you've seen Alabama put 24 points on the board, Stetson Bennett cannot deliver that. Like, we know he can do this, and he can game manage, and he can make the throws, he can hit powers, but you put him in a situation like that against Alabama, he cannot handle that. But the problem was the defense got you in the situation that Kirby needed to extricate himself from and wasn't willing to. Carl, Auburn sacked the quarterback, Bryce Young, 7 times. Arkansas got him 4 times. LSU got him 4 times. Ed Ogeron threw everything in the kitchen sink, and the game basically said, hey, I'm going to go out swinging, right? You know, A&M sacked him 4 times. 19 sacks in those games against Bryce, and Georgia couldn't get him on the ground once. And then once you realize you can't, then you really have to start. If you can't get there when you're down lineman and you're regular set, you're going to have to start blitzing and get some heat. And then if you do get burned, so be it. But you cannot let him continue to pick you apart. Those crossing routes went for – Carl, have you ever seen a receiver against Georgia catch a ball and he just runs seemingly for miles? I mean, you're like watching guys go for acres. And from where I was sitting, I was in section 245, so you could see all the passing lanes develop. And you're like, holy crap, there's nobody there. So now, okay, so now you're in that boat. And then I agree with what you just said. I doubled down on everything you just said. What did JT Daniels do? How did things get sideways? How does the quarterback situation always derail Kirby? You know? I mean, as we said, it's more than just one man in a game like that when you lose to Alabama. But once you found yourself in that pickle, how do you not break the glass and see what JT Daniels? Because he can't do any worse.
No, I didn't think so.
Why is there such a stubbornness by Kirby?
Score 5 consecutive scores for Alabama. 4 of them, well, check that. Actually, all the drives went over 75 yards.
Yep.
So you're driving down the field on a defense that hadn't had this happen to him all year. The defense is not getting any pressure. I mean, we could go down the list of things. Here's the thing for me, guys. When you look at the one position, and Kirby's done a hell of a job recruiting. There's just no doubt. He's done a hell of a job recruiting. But the one position that he's not gotten right, that Nick Saban continues to win at, is quarterback. And I'm just talking about the 4 matchups over the last 5 years, okay? Let's go back to 2017. Jalen Hurts was better than Jake Fromm. And then Tua was better than Jake Fromm because Jalen Hurts was a starter in 17 in the title game, and then obviously Tua comes in and wins the game. L. 2018, it was Tua who was the starter, and then Jalen had to come in and relieve Tua, who was injured, and he beats Georgia. L. 2020, regular season game, Stetson Bennett on the road. I know they're at Alabama, but you've got a lead, and here Mac Jones is. Better. L. And then you get Saturday. Bryce Young versus Stetson Bennett. Guys, we can talk about all these other things. Quarterback play still matters in college football as much as it does in the NFL. And if you're going to tell me that a title game and an SEC championship game and a regular season game and an SEC championship game were not lost due to the fact that your quarterback was not dynamic enough, you're fooling yourself. And so it's part of the narrative as we talk about where the dogs are. Can they win a national championship? Of course they can. But this one hurts. And you got a lot of stuff to fix. What are you going to do defensively, Mike, differently against Michigan, who sees these crossing routes you're talking about and goes, we can do that. They may not have as much talent as Alabama, but don't think for a second that they don't believe they can do some of those things.
No, and I was just talking about that with Chris during the commercial break. I mean, look, Michigan's calling card is the run game. They run the football really effectively. They beat Ohio State throwing the ball only 19 times because that's all they had to. And Cade McNamara is not going to play in the NFL. He's just a dude. But Harbaugh is going to try to do some of those things. He'd be an idiot not to. And obviously, you're going to respect to play action because they run the ball so effectively, and you could argue that that's going to create some real issues for Georgia because you're going to have to respect the run because that's what they do. So I don't think McNamara can beat Georgia. I still think we're going to see a rematch with Alabama. I think Alabama's going to have a struggle with Cincinnati early, and then they're going to show out. But I think we're right back to where we started with this thing. And so how is the approach going to be different from Kirby? Based on what I heard in the post game, it's not going to be different in any way other than, well, this is a great wake-up call. The SEC championship game against a team who was your nemesis for time immemorial should not be the wake-up call. I heard that made me want my blood boil. I'm not even, like, I didn't go to Georgia. All my friends are Georgia. I root for Georgia. It's good business to root for Georgia. But as a fan, if I'm a Georgia alum, I'm pulling my hair out when I hear that stuff.
You have more confidence in the Michigan game than I do right now. Mike, if Michigan gets a lead, you just said it, they run the football. Guess what we're doing? We're running clock. You're down 20? Well, we won't be down 20 to Michigan. You said that about Alabama. You've got a lot more confidence than I do right now heading into a game where your defense just got exposed. So I can't say that. I got to wait to December 31st, see how it plays out, and then if God willing we get an Alabama rematch, what is different? And by the way, those three guys I mentioned, Jalen Hurts, Tua, and Mac Jones, are all starting in the NFL. What Georgia quarterback starting in the NFL right now? That's where you're losing out.
From might get a – Matthew Stafford, but that was years and years ago.
Yeah, Stafford was a first pick, though. There's a difference.
No, but I mean, look, the key is here, and this goes back – I was hoping we'd avoid the conversation today, but it's unavoidable. Kirby has done everything. I don't have to give you the Kirby resume. Facilities, recruiting, resources, everything has come in together. He's got more stuff than Mark Richt ever had. He's got more assistant coaches. He's got more brain power than Mark Richt ever had as far as a coaching staff. He's got everything. Okay, programs like Oklahoma come to look at what Georgia's doing. Wow, look at that. I didn't know you could do that. So you've got all the resources. So how does it come down to these same things? The most important position on the field. And look, guys, if you listen to Carl and I over the course of the year, you know, we were JT Daniels guys. And said, well, you know, Bennett's finding a way. He keeps on plugging away. And then you get to the realization that he's Kirby's guy. So you can argue it's like fighting City Hall, right? He's not going to change. If Kirby doesn't show the flexibility and the open-mindedness to make adjustments between now and the Michigan game, I don't know if he's ever going to win a national championship.
404-741-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. Your phone call's coming up. And by the way, know where you want to go today. Like I said, we're not clowning around. You know how you feel. Just express it. That's where we're at today. And if you're PO'd, you're PO'd. If you're not, you're not. And if you go, well, this is not a big deal, so be it. But you're fooling yourself. This was a big deal. This was supposed to be the moment. And everybody knows that. I mean, how can you look yourself in the mirror today and go, well, yeah, it's okay we lost. No, it's not. You were undefeated and undisputedly the number one team in the country. It's not okay. That's not acceptable. I'm sorry. And it's certainly not acceptable being beat 41-24. This wasn't a last-second field goal.
No. But this goes back to it's a game plan. Bill O'Brien, okay, oh yeah, old Bill O'Brien from the Texans came up with a game plan. Saw what Georgia has, and he out-coached Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning, okay? Because it's the Nick Saban car wash. Coaches come in with tainted resumes, they leave with better jobs. Because Nick Saban has built the machine. We are of the impression that Kirby's built the same machine in Athens until you get to the biggest moment. How else do you judge Kirby in Georgia other than the biggest games of the year? This is one of the biggest games of the year when you got smoked.
Yeah. I'm looking at the text line too, Mike. I see all this Bill O'Brien stuff. Hey, give Saban credit. Every year he goes out and loses a guy, and they just hire another guy. Who's
that's
great.
What I said. Yeah, that's it. That's what he does.
And people on the text line are saying as much. I get it. I see it. I understand that. But you got to adjust. You got to adjust. Dog Report brought to you.
Confidence in Stetson Bennett.
I know you do, Kirby. Dog Report brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man. BRITE, BrightBoxElectrical.com. On a bleh day like today, it's nice to have multiple TVs to maybe watch things like movies, maybe other than sports, because you're still upset about the weekend. Go to BrightBoxElectrical.com and tell Santa what you want for the ultimate man cave.
All right. I want you to hear Kirby talking about what they need to work on heading into the playoff, and then also what he had to say about Bryce Young. First, what do you have to work on heading into the playoff?
For the most part this year, we've executed well. We didn't execute well tonight, and that had a lot to do with them. So give Alabama credit, and we got a lot to work on.
Did you ever feel, once this game got in the second half, that Georgia was going to come back?
No. I was waiting to see that big lift. And look, it's funny because we are of the impression, right? Again, whatever the freaking soap opera is, whatever the he said, she said about what the hell's going on behind the scenes with JT Daniels, I don't know. If anybody in Athens has got the details, I've heard so many stupid rumors, I don't know what side is up. But guess what, Carl? I was still of the impression at some point to start the second half that, and again, and maybe because, you know, hey, you know, you've learned a lot of things from Nick Saban. Nick Saban knows when to go with a different quarterback, you know, and we know how things work when you brought Tua in. And we were of that impression. Again, no, Kirby doesn't operate that way. He's going to ride and die with Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett is a great quarterback in certain situations. Being down three scores is not a way. It's not a game he's going to win for you. We can't do it. And he showed you as much in the red zone with two crippling interceptions and a pick six.
It's huge. Those are huge moments. And by the way, Stetson said, I didn't have my A game. It happens. It does. But, you know, when the defense lets you down the way they did, and then all of that compiles, it turns into an ugly situation.
Well, the other thing is, and we said this on Friday, when you're in now in the big moments, Bama's confidence rose up. Bama's got to be sky high from that win over Auburn. Dead to rights in the Iron Bowl. They come in, and they've got momentum. And they know when things start to go south, Georgia can't beat them because Georgia's never beaten this group of student athletes.
All right, coming up, your phone calls, guys. It's Monday. Stoops and Bell. Falcons coaches show coming up at 6 o'clock with Arthur Smith. Player segments, Russell Gage, but we want to hear from you, Georgia fans and college football fans, next. College playoff is set. How are you feeling? And how are you feeling specifically about what happened on Saturday night? 404-741-0929. It's Dukes and Bell.
This is Jim Ross.
Dogs have a chance to win the national championship game. We all assume that if they won, obviously they'd be the number one seed in the college football playoff committee rankings. If that didn't happen, obviously, but if they did, they'd be in. If they lost, we figured they'd be in. Why does this feel different? You know, because losing the SEC championship game means something, but the fact is you still have a chance to accomplish your big goal, which is the national championship game. And I know a lot of people have said that to us today, Mike, going back and forth, whether it's been tweets or text or whatever the circumstances are as you're communicating with us. But let's not act as if this was not a big deal, guys. And that's the part that I'm having a hard time with, Mike, as if the SEC championship game was like a sidebar. Yeah. Like the Alabama game, we knew it was going to happen. If we lost, it was okay. When did it become okay?
No, I've seen that today on social media. I saw it over the weekend. It's crap. I mean, tell that to the people I was sitting with. Nobody's buying that. I mean, look, losing the biggest games of the year are not resume builders. The fact the rest of the college football world is so dysfunctional that Georgia can lose this game and doesn't lose face, okay, that's great. But if the kids were actually of the opinion that this game could be lost and it's no biggie, then shame on Kirby and his staff. Because, yeah. Again, that's ridiculous. If you buy that, and anybody who's ever competed for anything in their life knows that's not a mindset anyone would have brought into this game. But, I mean, you know, last year, two toughest games you lost, to Florida and the Alabama game, of course, in Tuscaloosa. You know, I mean, we go back to the game in 18. Toughest game of the year that year was the LSU game. And then, of course, Alabama again in the SEC championship. So, I mean, at some point, you know, the biggest signature win for Kirby is the Oklahoma win in the Rose Bowl. Some of that was Mark Richt's guys. But, I mean, you've got to win these games, you know. And I'm a little more confident in Georgia beating Michigan than you are, but, I mean, why is Kirby here? What is he getting paid for? Why do you, Carl, give those millions and millions of dollars for all the resources? You know, that giant facility they built under the bleachers in the end zone. Right. All that stuff. What is it there for if you can't beat Alabama in the SEC championship?
Yeah, and for me, Mike, here's the thing about the Michigan game. You're right. All this could go their way, and this could be, I don't even know if it'll, I don't want to say blowout, but they could handle Michigan. The problem I'm having, though, is this is the first time you've been punched in the face. Mike Tyson has one of the most famous quotes in the history of sports. Everybody has a plan until you've been punched in the face. So this is the first time. So I don't know how these guys respond. I don't know if they fix everything. So that's why I'm reluctant to just jump on board and go, yeah, they're going to be fine the rest of the way, and they'll win these two games, and we'll be national champs. I'd love to see it happen, but I'm so frustrated with the way this played out on Saturday. What gives you the confidence to believe that that won't happen again?
Yeah, and think about Michigan, Carl. They haven't been in a game this big in 7 years. I mean, last time they played the Orange Bowl, it was 15 or 16. It was Dalvin Cook's last game. But Michigan's going to pack that Hard Rock, right? Are Georgia fans going to pack it in?
Ooh,
I mean,
good question.
That's, you know, you might be, well, you're betting on the come that you're going to be going to Indianapolis for the national championship. I don't know. I just know that Michigan runs the ball really, really well. Georgia can stop the run, supposedly. But after watching that secondary and watching what a good quarterback can do, I just don't think that Michigan has the athlete at quarterback to do the things. And we said this on Friday up at Twin Peaks. You're going to have to play like the Heisman to beat Georgia. That's exactly what he did on Saturday
night. Well, I will tell you this. And again, we got 3 weeks to talk about this. But they got the two best edge rushers in college football, period. And they bring pressure, and they will get to the quarterback. So, I mean, I don't know what you thought about Alabama's defense, but the Michigan defense has two excellent edge rushers. And one of the guys leads the nation in sacks. They're both going to be first-round picks, Mike.
Hutchinson and Ajobo, they got 25 sacks between the two of them.
Correct. So this idea, again, Stetson will have all day back there. No, he won't. All right, let's get to your phone calls. We can talk about that in due time. I want to know what you're thinking and how you're feeling today. Ken and Noonan, you're in the game with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's going on, Ken?
Hey, man.
I'm not a coach. I'm not an analyst. But I'm going to tell you this, guys, and I'm highly upset about what happened. Now, if Auburn and LSU and Mississippi State all can figure out that we need to rush the right tackle of Alabama, his throwing lane, and rush that side of the ball to get pressure on Young, why didn't we do it? I mean, I can't figure that out for the life of me. We stayed back and played zone, and nobody was putting pressure on the right tackle of Alabama. The guy's been talked about for months about being a suspect player. We never did attack that side of the line for them. Mm-hmm. And then we get away. Guys, I'm long-winded. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Then we get away. I'm not an analyst now. But then we get away. I remember in the Rose Bowl, we got down to Oklahoma, but we kept chopping. We kept running the ball with Sony and Nick, and we got back in the game. We just threw that out the window. We were only down three. We just threw that out the window. Zeus and Cook almost popped a couple of traps up the middle. If you remember, if you watch the game again, we had a couple of plays that almost popped right up the middle at Toa Tualoa. He's soft. We got away from that. We didn't even go back at him up the middle.
No,
that kind of spooked me too. I couldn't understand that. And guys, I'm gonna get off the phone, but I gotta say this one last thing. Kirby's got to stop being nice. He lost his mojo. He keeps getting on these SEC networks and doing these joint interviews with Saban, and he's like a little boy sitting around his daddy. He's got to cut it out. If he does not need to do any more joint interviews until he beats Saban. I'm tired of hearing about it, man.
Man. Now, some of those would be the – again, it's kind of mandated as a lead-up to the SEC, but I know where you're going with on that one. And we did mention – and to your point, it's a good point. We mentioned it earlier. When the game was still within reach, Carl, it was a one-possession game. They had a first – and they got 5 yards on a first down. Never ran the ball again that series. There were a bunch of crucial three and outs where they put the ball in Bennett's hands in manageable situations. He couldn't do it.
I know, and I do agree with him on that. Mike, and, you know, it screams a little bit of panic, right? You know why, guys? Because they hadn't been down all year like this, and they hadn't seen an offense that could score like this, and they knew it. So all of a sudden, what happens? We got to throw it!
Yep.
We got to throw it! No! Stay cool!
Yep.
We got great backs! We're good!
It's Brian Jones from SEC and CBS, one of the things that he brought up about that specific scenario, and that's exactly what happened.
All right, Ken, appreciate your call, man. Thank you for listening in Noonan. He's down there with Mike, by the way. Southside, let's talk to Randy in Marietta. Randy, you're in the game with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Thank y'all for taking my call, man.
Sure.
To the previous caller's point, well, 2 points to make. It seemed like to me that Nick Saban have a psychological advantage on Kirby Smart. Like Ali used to psych out his fighters pre-fight. It just seemed like, even in the interview, man, it seemed like, man, this like Nick Saban was sitting there like, okay, I'm supposed to be here. My swagger is in full tilt. This is our championship, and we're gonna. This is my student. I'm the teacher, and I can't wait to take him to the woodshed. That's the vibe I got. Second point. I digress. Bryce Young is a different kind of dude, man.
Yep.
Dan Marino said it best. There is no defense for the perfect pass. With a 2 or 3 second release and pinpoint accuracy, you can't stop that. No. There's no way, especially with their receiver farming, the farms receiving system they got. There's no way to stop that, man. But it's gonna require a supreme effort from Georgia, going from here moving forward. And God knows, I hope I'm wrong. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man. Yeah, Mechie going out is huge, though, for Alabama, Carl. That's a huge loss for them.
It is, because they had two guys, and I'm not going to say they won, guardable, but that could really stretch the field. They're good route runners, and Mechie's just a playmaker. And when he goes out of that game, again, I actually, Mike, was thinking, this is when you start to bring the pressure. Like, you've just taken one of his playmakers off the field. Go after him and make him throw the ball to somebody else. Make somebody else beat you. And we didn't.
And then, remember, Alabama had a bunch of injuries on their offensive line. They had a bunch of injuries going back to the New Mexico State game. They had a lot of guys that were banged up, and they had to move people around. Part of the reason why Auburn was able to do some of the things that Auburn did. That's why they were blitzing. But for some reason, Georgia didn't exploit that. And I will say, I mentioned to you earlier, on one of the first big throws, I think it was maybe to Jameson Williams, the ball is out in like 2.5 seconds. It's like a Formula One pit stop. It's like, and then the ball was out. So Jordan Davis was doing his job, but he would get there, and the ball was gone. So you're seeing that. Kirby's got to be in. They're seeing the same thing, Dan Lanning. How do you not say, look, we've got to bring extra heat? Unless they just felt so bad about their secondary, that they didn't want to be in that situation.
And let me say this, too, about Jordan Davis. We hadn't really even talked about it. He's a beast. But in that game, he was ineffective. Mike, he's a two-down guy, and they're throwing the football as much as they did. I need more pressure. I need guys to attack. In the run game, it's a different deal. He was not effective, Mike.
No tackles for loss for Jordan Davis, by the way. 4 tackles. But, I do think that Alabama, though, did try to get the ball out a lot. I mean, remember the things we said? Kentucky got the ball quickly out to the flat, crossing routes. Tennessee tried some of it, obviously up-tempo. Alabama did all that. I mean, and Georgia had no answer for it. That's also coaching.
Let's grab Joe and Gwinnett. Joe, you're up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, talk to us, Joe.
Hey, guys, thank you very much for taking my call. First, I want to say, hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yo, to that first caller from Ken down noon, I said, preach on, brother, preach on, because he is 100% right. And the only way I personally think UGA is going to win against Michigan, they got to score 30-plus points. Otherwise, that defense is going to be, that secondary is going to be suspect, and I think Michigan might have a good chance of exploiting it.
Yeah, see, I feel the same way, and I hate to say it. I know we're all in our bag right now about this L, but I'm telling you right now, this is not going to be one of those games. Well, we'll just bounce back. I hope that's the case. I hope we're talking about a 30-3 kind of game. And, woo, all right, let's look ahead and see what we're playing in the national championship game. Mm. But I cannot overlook Michigan with what I just saw.
But again, you just talked about Hutchinson, Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo. I mean, is Kirby going to say, I can't have JT Daniels back there because one hit, he's going to get knocked out of the game. I got to have Bennett back there because he gives me the mobility and the I'm just telling you, Kirby's going to stick with Bennett, man.
Well, if he does, Mike, and they lose, he gets it. He's going to feel it and hear it from everybody. His job, his number one responsibility is to give his team the best opportunity to win. And I don't care if you think, well, he might get a hit. Hell, he's a quarterback. Can he play? Put him in there. All right, man, we got more to get to. Fellas, thank you guys for dialing us up. We appreciate it. Ken and Randy, Jim, we didn't get a chance to get to you, but thank you for listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, what am I – Carl, it's been a mission of my life to get Gil Hodges in the Hall of Fame. Actually, I didn't do anything to do it, but he finally made it. They got some of the old veterans getting in, including one from the Negro Leagues, which makes a lot of sense. And, Carl, I lobby every week for Frisbee Dogs, and they gave us Frisbee Dogs, and – The dog didn't ever catch a Frisbee at the Falcons.
You know what?
Game.
I saw it and I laughed because you're the first person I thought about.
Hey, man, I spoke with the owner and the man who was throwing the Frisbee on Twitter. I'll explain next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, man, on a bleh, dreary Monday for many folks of the fans of the Falcons and the Georgia Bulldogs here around the A. Hopefully you made it through those storms. Pretty nasty storms rolled through earlier today. Hey, man, some guy talk brought to you by our buddies at Hey Man Ale from Oconee Brewing. Grab some now for the holidays. Hey, real quick, let's talk about the elephant in the room, Carl. This relationship which you and Squid and Chris have that I'm not a member of, you're excluding me from. And then yesterday I invite you guys for some fellowship post-Falcons game, and nobody responds to me.
Well, we had been drinking all day at the Falcons game because the Falcons drive us to drink. Mm-hmm. And I was at the crib by the time you hit me up. I was not coming back out to the pony at that point. Now, Chris lives in town, so Chris might have made a trip. Yeah. But Chris, he hit it pretty hard yesterday, too. So
again, Chris, you live in Midtown, Uber. But Chris, I just talked to him during the commercial break, and he goes, well, what's the pink pony? I mean, you've been living here a year and a half now. Yeah, I mean, it's what you do on a Sunday. The other establishments are generally closed on a Sunday. The pony is years ago, somebody wrote a book about the Ravens. It was called Purple Rain when they won the Super Bowl. I said, yeah, I'm writing a book about the Falcons. It's called Pink Pony because that's where I am at halftime, right? So between the Georgia game and Dale, my buddy was in town, Georgia class of 88. He was in from San Diego for the SEC championship, and then I directed the Falcons game as well. So, yeah, we went over for some fellowship and ran into a bunch of 92.9 The Game listeners as well.
Hold on a second. What relationship with me? I didn't get invited to the Falcons game with Carl and Chris.
Well, you're already there working.
In fact, I've never gotten invited to a Falcons game with Carl. So I don't know what you're talking about, this relationship. I've been working all day, Michael. I was tired. By the time you text me, I was just getting out of post game, and I didn't want to go anywhere but
Carl,
home.
I mean, I take Chris to a United match. I take him to three. I even buy him a jersey, and he stabs me in the back, and he doesn't even want to talk to me. He doesn't even hit me back. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It hurts. Yeah, it hurts, Chris. It hurts. It hurts.
But we know you're tired. We're not going to – well, I'm not. I mean, you're at the game. I'm not going to invite you to the game you're already at. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't invite me to Braves games. You invite Chris to a Braves game?
All right, that's true.
I'm just
saying. True. All right, you know what? Next season, I'm taking you a Braves game. How's that?
Team building exercise. All right, man, a couple of things. Yesterday at halftime, as the Falcons struggled against Tampa Bay. Don't know if you saw it. We were there, so Carl and I and Chris got to see it. I've been asking for Frisbee dogs. I get a kick out of watching a dog catching a Frisbee when the ball, the Frisbee's like 50 yards down the field. And all of a sudden, we get Frisbee dogs, and it was, unfortunately, the poor dog, name is Sailor, and this guy, by the way, apparently is the Frisbee Dog Champion of Canada that they invited down there. The horn that went off, I guess, on the turnover, it spooked the dog. So he immediately, when they brought him into his, now here's so-and-so, and he immediately turns around, makes a U-turn, and heads to the tunnel, Carl. So the guy throwing the Frisbee's got to go get him.
It was great. I'll tell you, I'm going to be completely honest with you. It was halftime, so it was a restroom break.
Right.
And I'm literally in line to use the men's room, and they have the TVs in the men's room at Mercedes-Benz, and everybody in line is just crying like, this dog didn't want to do it. This dog shut down on this guy. And literally, you see the guy out there like showing the Frisbee. Okay, here we go. We're about to do it. And we got a show.
Right.
Come on. And it was just the funniest thing because everybody was laughing at the fact that this dog was like, Oh, we doing this now?
Yeah. So I said on Twitter at the game that Hefty goes, I was good, like you, Carl. I was going to make a beer run, but I just I got a beer from Dale. And I'm like, oh, wow, perfect. I'm going to sit back and watch some awesome Frisbee dogs, who, by the way, did not complete one catch. So I go on Twitter and I say, look, the guy's throwing like go routes. He's doing 20-yard curls. Oh. And he kept going to the Bucks sideline. Obviously wanted to get some of Tom Brady's essence. I guess he got Tom Brady's scent, Carl. He wouldn't go and run. Well, anyway, it made the Calgary Herald because apparently Frisbee Rob McLeod is the man who was throwing the Frisbee. He is apparently one of the best in the world, a sixth Guinness World Record holder and a 13-time world champion, him and Sailor. But apparently when the horn went off, it just spooked the dog and he just never got on track.
Yeah, I felt bad. I did, but I laughed because you're the first person I thought about because you're always talking about, why don't they bring the Frisbee dogs back? That's why.
So I'm bagging on the Frisbee guy. He hits me directly on Twitter. It's a major news story in Canada, Carl, which shows you what's going on north of the border. So I told him, I said, look, I'm sorry. I said, take it from me and a guy who knows there's no such thing as bad publicity. But it was a little, I mean, again, the dog's a beautiful dog and I hate to see that he could not put on the show. Hey, developing story down in Mexico. I haven't been to Cancun in about 20 years, and I'm not sure I'm going to go down anytime soon. Sun's out, guns out, Carl. I just posted the photo at Mike Bell ATL. Shocking pictures from the beach. Mexico's federales in head-to-toe body armor and camo walking the beach while you're sitting there getting some sun, because obviously there's been some shenanigans down there, and they want to keep the gringos safe that are on vacation.
Yeah, you know, I've always heard, and we heard this many, I heard this many, many years ago and going down there and vacationing, that the one thing you didn't have to worry about, like in certain places in Mexico, it is as bad as you think right. It is. And you might get lost and you might not come home. But the one thing that they weren't going to mess with, because the cartels are involved, hate to right. break the news to you, it's some of these resorts, not all, but you were okay at the resorts. Like, they weren't going to mess with their money. Like, right. That was the one beach. Place right. you weren't going to have to worry because, hey, they're not going to deal with that. Now, to your point, you saw some of this, or at least their stories are out there, and people are like, what? What do you mean? I was at the resort. I didn't even leave the resort. And now people are freaking out about it.
Yeah, I was last time I was in Cancun, we rented one of those like dune buggies and we rode all the way to the Mayan ruins and stuff in the Yucatan. And just I love getting off the beaten trail. I'm sure. No stranger danger when I'm on vacation, but needless to say, those photos give you some pause. Apparently the mayor got whacked in Cancun a couple of years back too, and so it's a little funky. Photos up, take a look at Mike Bell ATL. Sun's out, guns out.
So they're patrolling the beaches.
Literally, but it makes you feel safe, you know. It's like when I was with Becky, we were in Paris a couple of years back, and that was always something terrorist going on. But we were like in a little Christmas village right off the Champs-Élysées. But you would see, I mean, they had French Foreign Legion dudes' cars, which made you feel safe because he's got your car carved out of wood, all with some machine guns. So it does reinforce, at least, I guess some people get freaked out by it. To me, I was like, hey, right on, man. It makes you feel like no one's going to pull any shenanigans. But either way, strange visuals, that's for sure. Hey, let's hit the closing bell, see if we made any money out there today. And the closing bell, guys, is brought to you by Right From The Heart. For a wonderful place to put your tax deductions, deductible donations, I should say, visit rightfromtheheart.org/donate. Again, pretty cool idea to maybe get something for you for your tax break. Dow Jones up 650, baby. All right, erasing last week's bad week. It was bad. S&P is up 53. NASDAQ is up 139. Closing bell, again, guys, brought to you by rightfromtheheart.org/donate. A couple of birthdays, December 6th. Giannis Antetokounmpo is 27 today, Carl.
Yeah, and he's a champion. And I don't know if they'll repeat. That's always hard to do. But yeah, man, one of my favorite. He became one of my favorite guys after seeing how he, you know, his journey and getting there last year, Mike. And he's just a good dude. I enjoy watching him. I want us to beat him, though. I hope we get a chance to beat him in the conference finals again.
Yeah, man. Look, it's still a great story, and it's certainly other than beating the Hawks, it's a great story coming from where he was, and you know, his brother gets to come along on the coattails and get paid too. Doesn't suck. Johnny Football is 29 today. Boy,
yeah, wow.
Hope he banked that coin, right?
Boy, he was in the league and then out so quickly, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean,
first round pick.
I know. So I got a buddy that lives in College Station. He still trolls around there. I say that because I think he lives there. But he says he's run into him a couple of times. And, you know, Johnny's just hanging out, man.
Doing his thing, man.
Yeah. He did the, what was it, the fan-controlled football where the fans right. got to pick the plays. That was right. his last public sighting.
Oh, boy. Andrew Cuomo, the disgraced governor of New York. His brother Fredo, by the way, is going scorched earth on CNN. You see that, Carl? They fired him.
Apparently,
Take down everybody.
I didn't see that, but I did see over the weekend where that happened. So what is how old is Cuomo now?
The governor, well, the former gov is 64, but his little brother, Fredo, apparently is going after the guy that hired him. So apparently he's taking everybody. Stephen Wright, the deadpan comedian, is 66. Carl, if you traveled at light speed, will your headlights work? Judd Apatow, director, producer, many movies. He's 54. Kevin Cash, Ray's manager, is 44. Randy Rhoads, Squidbilly knows this, one of my favorite guitar players. That's Ozzy's guitarist. He died way too soon. He'd be 65 today. Browns legend Otto Graham also got a birthday. And Carl, finally, my dad's up in heaven. I'd like to think he's having a beer with Gil Hodges. My dad's favorite Brooklyn Dodger, the manager of the Mets for the 69 World Series, finally gets in the Hall of Fame. The old timers committees putting some great names in there. Buck O'Neill, who did so much for the history of Negro Leagues and a scout for the Cubs, beloved by anyone who met him. You ever get a chance to meet Buck O'Neill?
I did, man, and was blown away. I mean, honestly, like, only because, Mike, and I know we got to go, but only because my dad had told me about the Negro Leagues. I didn't get a chance to experience it, obviously, and to hear the stories. And then later in life, I get a chance to meet Buck O'Neill. And I remember telling my dad about it. He was like, he wanted to hear all the stories. He was an incredible man.
Just great story. Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, famous twins, Jim Cott, who was a money pitcher, then later did TV, and Bud Fowler. Again, just glad to see. My dad was a Gil Hodges guy. Anyway, there's your guide talk. We got plenty more on the disgruntled dogs and Falcon fans, Carl.
Yeah, we do, man. Falcon Report's on the way. You're going to hear from Matt Ryan. But we shot ourselves in the foot yesterday. I don't know if we win the game, but there was a turning point that happened. We'll tell you what it was next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.